community is really not in the Bible. We coined that phrase. We, meaning Christians, coined that phrase because it's a tripart. And man is actually a tripart being as well, spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. We all have a spirit. Our spirits are the real us. That's the part of us that's going to live forever somewhere. And it is the part that the war was, the original war between God and man was all about, because in order for God, for us to get back in relationship with God, we had to get rid of our sin nature. See, God is so holy. Sin cannot just hang around him. Jesus came to, he executed God's plan of salvation. And the third part of the Godhead, which is the Holy Spirit, you know, sometimes we say Holy Ghost, that usually scares some people. So we just say Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the revelator and revealed to us that we can be saved and to get our spirit renewed. So once that spirit is renewed, the Holy Ghost is involved with that new with the new birth, and the Holy Spirit cleanses, supernatural cleanses our spirit from its sin nature, and then he seals it. It's like having a, if you ever seen the movies with the force fields, an impenetrable, you cannot penetrate it, force field around our spirit, and so that sin nature is gone. Now the war after that is the battle that's of the mind. What goes on between our ears, the way we think, our emotions, our feelings. That's where doubt come in, unbelief, worry, dread, fretting. That's where you believe that you can't do this, that, and the other. That's where we start feeling sorry for ourselves because we didn't go to high school or if we dropped out of high school. All of those negative things are in that atmosphere. But with the Word of God, God fixes, the Word will fix the way that we think if we read the Word on a consistent and a regular basis, and also come on Sundays and Wednesdays and Fridays and what have you to get the Word of God. Because, see, once again, just like that never, your mind being renewed never ends either. That's a lifelong journey. And so if you will allow God to do so, he will renew your mind with the Word of God. But you have to want to have that on purpose so that you can change your destiny in life. I've watched people over the years, and a lot of people just give up because, if you've been beat down 20, 30, 40, 50 years, you just look for uppercuts. You realize, I don't know where the uppercut coming from, but somebody gonna get me. And, I know that's not great English, but but your mind started to change, and you realize that you are somebody, and that you can do what the Word of God says you can do, and you can have what the Word of God says you have. It's not based upon your IQ or whether or not you have a college degree or whether you even finished high school or not. It's based upon your relationship with God. And God will renew your mind, and your mind, even though you didn't even graduate from high school, can become sharper than somebody that has a PhD. Glory to God. If you let God do that for you. Amen. So there's really no excuse. I don't care how far down we are. There's no excuse for staying down. If we stay down, that means we want to stay down, because God's got a plan for us. and that's been executed by the Holy Jesus and revealed by the Holy Spirit. But you've got to want to have that plan. That's why it's important to come to church so you can know that God have a plan for you. Most people don't know that. They think God is out to get them. And they're in this mess because of what they did 4 or 5 years ago or 24 years ago or what have you. But, boy, we serve a good God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to John. I think everybody may be there but me. John chapter 16. And we were talking about the fact that we need to start looking in the Word for the Word, Godhead, because that talks about the,
I
hate when eyelashes do crazy stuff. The Godhead is when you see Godhead, you're talking about the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's the three parts of God. And so Jesus was actually God in the flesh. The Holy Spirit is God in the Spirit. And so you say, well, how God do all of that? He didn't explain it. And don't ask me to. But I can give you an illustration. I am a father. I'm a grandfather, disappeared, and I'm a pastor, but right now, I'm just standing in the role of pastor, even though I've got these other titles as well. When church is over, I will resume my grandfather duties, and on and on and on. And so that's just kind of an example, but you know, that's something I don't even sit around thinking about, you know, how God do what he do. My job is to keep the switch of faith turned on and receive the blessing. Amen. He could have had a quartet as far as, didn't matter whether it was, three parts. He could have been 4, 5, or 6, and I would still believe that he is God. Amen. He was God before we was born, and he'll be God after we are gone. Amen. So in John chapter 16, the Gospel of John chapter 16, remember, we're talking about right now is the, we want to start, I want you to start recognizing. See, you know, when you start, say for instance, you say, well, I want a Cadillac, whatever, an Escalade. And once you start wanting something, you start seeing Escalades all the time. And so I want you to start seeing that word Godhead in the Word of God. Amen. Cadillac Escalade. All right, John 16, I'm going to start in verse 4. And it says, but these things have I told you, when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them, and these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him, talking about the Father, that sent me, but none of you asked me where you're going. But because I have said these things, you sorrow, and sorrow hath filled your heart. See, he really was preparing them that he had to leave. And I don't blame him. I would have been a little melancholy also if Jesus was leaving. But he did not. He was not leaving them or us alone. It was the Holy Spirit's turn next to be with us. And the Holy Spirit is just the same as Jesus, just the same as the Father. He's just invisible. Praise God. And verse 7 says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient or better for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, talking about the Holy Ghost, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. He was saying that the next thing that's going to be good for you, because, see, Jesus could only be in one place at a time. The Holy Ghost can show up anywhere. Glory to God. Amen. So I'm sending you, you know, you're not by yourself. You're getting this Comforter. Let's read on a little bit. And in verse 8, he says, and when he has come, he, know what it says? He, not it. He, everybody say the Holy Ghost is he. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin because they believe not on me. So, you know, the Holy Ghost convicts people because they don't believe in Jesus Christ. And that's why a lot of times when people not saved, they come to church, they don't come back for a whole long time. And they think it's the preacher that's got them, but it was the Holy Ghost that got them. You know, because they didn't believe in Jesus or won't believe in Jesus. And the Holy Ghost will convict. So you say, well, the best thing for me not to do is go back there. Well, somebody may get you in the supermarket next. You going to stop going to Publix? Glory to God. I don't know why we run from Jesus. Can anybody help me out with that? Why did you run from Jesus? I mean, we all ran at one time. You don't remember why you ran no more, eh? Or you ain't going to say. Okay. Amen. 10. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. See, that probably really, really made him sad. Of 11, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. The prince of this world, not the king, not the God, but the prince of this world is judged. My goodness. And so the Holy Ghost is dealing with sin. He's dealing with unbelief. He's dealing with righteousness. Resurrection, just, I mean, see, Satan really has no authority over us, but you got to know that if you don't know that, see, Satan is a liar and a bully. Right. And so he'll lie to you and feel like you cannot, you know what, it's just like these Hebrew children. They saw all of those miracles with their own eyes. Ain't nobody told them the story. They saw it. And it was just like Jesus, I mean, just like God had never done anything for him. We're the same way here right now. I don't care how many times God heals your body, you see how many miracles and stuff, and it's like the next time something come up, it's like, you know, ain't nothing happened before. The Holy Spirit probably feel like slapping us sometimes. Just wake up. Wow. Just wake up. You know, how much stuff we got to see before we believe. Amen. And that's why if you're not saturating yourself with the Word of God, you're always looking for proof. Faith is about believing before you see. Right. Amen. And that's what the Word is based on. Grace. God has provided everything that we need by grace. All the healing that we'll ever need is here. All the money that we'll ever need is here. All of the forgiveness of sin and cleansing of sin is already provided. How do I get that, Father? Well, I access it by faith. How do I get faith? The Word of God says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing. And hearing what? The Word of God. So if I want to have faith in God, faith in the Word of God, I have to read the Word of God. So that's another reason why you need to come to church. That's another reason why you need to have a Bible reading program, because if you're not getting all of that, you're going to miss it somewhere. The streets ain't nobody's friend. And so, you know, we get addicted to them streets. But God's got a better plan, got a plan better than the streets. Let's read on a little bit more in that same chapter, verse 12. And it says, I have yet many things to say unto you. It's still red letters. He said, but you cannot bear them now. He said, in other words, what we would have said, but you can't handle it. You can't handle it right now. That's what we would have said it. He said, however, when he, once again, now look what he's calling him before. He called him the Comforter before. Look what he called him now. The Spirit of Truth. Glory to God. The Spirit of Truth is come. He will guide you into all truth. If you will allow the Holy Ghost to do it, saints of God, he'll guide you into all truth. Amen. You want to know the truth? What does the Holy Ghost say about it? Amen. For he shall not speak of himself, once again, that's talking about the Holy Ghost, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you, ooh, goodness, things to come. That's exciting to me. Show you things. How many of y'all want to know what's coming up? Yikes. Give you a preview. Don't mess with him. Leave her alone. Don't take that job. I know they doubled your salary. Don't take that job. See, probably 95%, if not 100% of us, take jobs because of money. Amen. I've taken a job because of money. Were you talking about the worst? Boy, you talking about what Richard Pryor said in that one thing? Shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have done that. Golly. It was one of the worst years I had at the city. It was. Matter of fact, I didn't even enjoy the money. It was so much stress and duress that was associated with it for that period of time. It was insane. I ain't checked with God. I just, just jumped out the boat. Yeah, that's me. We got to check with God. Because the Holy Ghost would have known, said, nope. Don't you do it. And it's so important, thanks to God. That money is not that important. If your peace of mind and your comfort and your stress level and your health is not worth it. It's not worth it. Praise God. And so I know most folks want to rise up and do things a little better, but God's got a way that's better than man's way. And he goes on to say in verse 14, and he shall glorify me. Holy Ghost is going to glorify. For he shall receive of me a mind and shall show it unto you. And he says in verse 15, still Jesus talking, all things that the Father hath are mine. Goodness. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and show it unto you, or give it unto you. Everything the Father has belongs to Jesus. Holy Ghost is going to reveal what he had and then allow us to share into that. You talking about a good deal, church. Us got a good deal. Glory to God. We got a good deal. But see, you got to believe what the Word of God says. You say, well, is it really that? It is easier than we think it is. Once again, what makes it hard is what's going on between your ears. It depends upon how you've been taught, what you currently believe. If you believe the Word of God, have you heard it before? Because somebody will always, that's why you can't share all your dreams with everybody, because they will come up with that, yeah, but, and talk you right out of it. Amen. So you got to go, if you're going to talk to somebody, that person should be somebody of like-minded faith. Amen. Let's go to Luke chapter 3. Holy Ghost said he's a person. He'll guide you into all truth. And he will unveil mysteries. Not create mysteries, but unveil them to you. Goodness. It's a good deal. I don't know if y'all know that or not. That's a good deal. You have to sit around and somebody, let me see. No, that's a good deal. Take that. Luke 3. And the Holy Ghost descended I hear some pages. I'll wait just a moment. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, and in thee I am well pleased. Let's back up. See, this is the baptism of Jesus. Now, Jesus was on this planet approximately 30 years before he got baptized. And once he got filled with the Holy Spirit, that's when his ministry took off, thanks to God. Amen. And then that's when the miracles and the healings and all of these things started to happen. And so in verse 21, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was open. And that's when the Holy Ghost descended. The Word of God says it was like a dove. And then the Father told Jesus, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. It would have been enough to say I'm pleased. The Father told Jesus, I'm well pleased with what you're doing, son. Yeah. Hallelujah. See, because though he was not filled with the Holy Ghost as of yet, he still was without sin. So you can he showed us that we can, you know, can live a life and not sin. But it's if you want to, it's big enough, you can do that. But I highly encourage you to get a relationship with the Holy Ghost, and he certainly can help you even better not to get into the sin realm. Oh, we just serve such a good God, saints of God. Amen. Matthew chapter 28. You say, well, Pastor, why do you have so many scriptures? Because you need to see what the Word of God says. Faith comes by hearing. Matthew 28. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew 28. Go ye therefore, 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and of the Holy Ghost. That's the Godhead. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. I'm with you always. Even to the end of the world. Jesus, you know, golly, you know, he said in one passage, he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And that's why it's you know, you don't say anything, but people say, well, you know, the reason I did it, I just be so tired of being by myself and lonely. And well, are you saved? Yes, I'm saved. Well, you're not by yourself. Or alone. Amen. You got the Holy Ghost and you got the presence of Jesus with you. Amen. What you need to say is that I want some man or some woman. Glory to God. Tell it like it is. Well, Pastor, I need me, you know. Well, I can relate to that. But don't just give me that lonely stuff because you're not by yourself. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So this, I'm actually finishing up last week, and I haven't even started this week yet. Look at somebody and say, y'all, yeah, this is an extra bonus. So I might take up another offering then. So the takeaway from that, the Holy Spirit is God. Amen. You believe that? Amen. The Holy Spirit is the third member of the Godhead. When you see Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that's the Godhead. Know this, the Holy Spirit is a person, not an it, it's a he. And then fourthly, and that's what we're going to talk about today, is the Holy Spirit is a friend. And what we ought to do, what you ought to do, what us ought to do, is make the Holy Spirit your best friend. Glory to God. I'm talking about if you want to get tight with the Holy Ghost. Amen. So we're going to start in today's lesson. Praise God. See, I didn't finish last week because y'all stomachs was growling for Mother's Day. Praise God. All right, let me get my notes right here. That goes with that. This goes with this. All righty. Pastor on it. All right, 2 Corinthians. Go to John chapter 17, which is our golden text. Let's go back there just for a moment. John 17. Then we're going to 2 Corinthians. John chapter 17, sorry. Yeah. Only two people listening. John chapter 17, verse 3. And this is, once again, this is Jesus. And he said in verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they may know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Glory to God. And so it's all about relationship. You know, eternal life is all about knowing God. Eternal life is all about having a relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's not just, eternal life is not just long life, but according to the Word of God, it's about knowing and having a relationship with the Godhead, Father, Son, as well as the Holy Spirit. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, please, which is not too far away. Second Corinthians chapter 13. Over there? Amen. This is a beautiful verse. It's almost like a benediction. And it says in verse 14, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. And then he goes on to say, amen. What he's trying to tell us here is, you know, how much the Father loves us. And the we have to realize also that we, the Holy Spirit is our friend. Jesus saved us. And so we got a package deal that worked on our salvation. And you have a package deal that you have to realize here on earth, your spirit, your soul, your body. As a matter of fact, on Wednesdays, probably sometimes mid to late June, we will do a series on spirit, soul, and body in our Bible study. I use a workbook for the Bible study, and those that want to buy their copy of the book, not the workbook, but the book that the workbook comes from, there's a list on the foyer table for that. So the name of the book is Spirit, Soul, and Body. Spirit, Soul, and Body. And I forgot the price, but it depends upon whether we get it from Amazon or $9? $9, okay. Praise God. Spirit, soul, and body. It's really an eye-opener. Now let's go to Acts chapter 19. Thank you, Lord. See, the Spirit of God is a lot of people, a lot of people either have not heard about the Holy Spirit, or they are leery of the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that make people leery of the Holy Spirit is how we react to the Holy Spirit. We all react differently. And sometimes if you're over the top, it scares people. It scares the children, it scares the adults, and they start thinking, I don't know if I want that. Glory to God. Amen. I'm not talking about dancing in the spirit or nothing like that. I'm just saying is that we have to be aware of our surroundings sometimes, especially when we're in a public forum. Now, we can get a little, you know, we can get real, real, real wild in our prayer closets. Sometimes when we're in a public setting like this, when you've got new Christians and when you've got folks that are not really even saved, they really don't know what's going on. And sometimes instead of attracting, it can repel. And so it's not about having your way, but it's about or quote unquote quenching the Holy Ghost. It's about understanding where you are and how to act on the different circumstances. Acts chapter 19. And it says, and this is Paul at Ephesus, and it came to pass, actually it was at Corinth. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper coast, came to, I was right the first time, I came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. And he said unto them, I mean, these people had got saved, in other words, because the word of God started back in Acts chapter, the first chapter, and it was like a Holy Ghost fire just taking off, and people were getting saved, sometimes by the hundreds, or even thousands sometimes. And Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples, and he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Amen. And so you don't, you know, you don't, in other words, you can get saved without the Holy Ghost. I mean, the Holy Ghost, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost is presence at the new birth, but to be filled with the Holy Ghost is an experience that happens after you have been saved. And the like in Acts chapter 2, and it says, you know, there was in one place on one accord, and a sound as a rushing mighty wind came, and they were, the word of God says, and they were all filled, all who? All of the disciples, everybody that was in the place, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. How you know they was filled? Because they began to speak with other tongues. Praise God. That is the one of the main proofs, or one of the main evidence that you have been filled. And so, and y'all know, tongues have been abused and misused in services, and so consequently, because of all of these things, we don't know the Holy Spirit the way that we should. And I think in order for us personally to get to another level, we've got to get closer and understand the Holy Spirit. And before I started talking about the Holy Spirit, I was saying we got to get closer to God. But in order to get closer to God, you got to understand these three parts, of God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So when I get close to the Holy Spirit, who am I getting close to? I'm getting closer to God. Praise God. So you always realize that they are three, but yet still they are one. So you should want to know everything you can know about the Holy Spirit, because he is, wow, what a mighty, 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 mighty experience it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I once again encourage all of us, if you haven't been as a Christian, you should pursue that. And so them folks said, you know, we haven't even heard whether there be a Holy Spirit. And so let me give you some words here. I'm going to give you a from the Hebrew as well as the Greek. And if you have concordance, you'll see numbers sometimes by word. And so the Hebrew word for Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost is like ruach, R-U-W-A-C-K. R-U-W-A-C-K, and it means wind, breath, or blast of wind, whirlwind. You can use Genesis 1:2 let's just go to Genesis 1:2. That's the creation. Genesis 1:2 says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Amen. And so the Holy Ghost has, you know, like Jesus, he's been around since the beginning. And the Holy Ghost was there to create, at the creation, happened to create order out of this 6 days of creating all that exists. So he's been around a long time. And so once again, in the Hebrew, it means wind, breath, or a blast of wind, a whirlwind. Now in the Greek, comes from the word pneuma. The P is always silent. P-N-E-U-M-A, which means a current of air, or a breath, or a breeze. So it's like this, what we're talking about today is the Holy Spirit is like a wind. It's like a wind. If you go back to Acts, well, let's go back. Go to there. I quoted it, but let's go to there. Acts chapter 2. The Holy Ghost is like a wind. And if I'm going too fast, let me know. And I'll slow down. Because I want us to get it. It's so important. See, if you got enough information, you can make a better decision about whether you want to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. So you can't say you didn't know. Now, in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, and this is what I quoted a moment ago, and they were all, that group, it was 120 of them, it was the day of Pentecost. What does the word Pentecost mean? Penta means 50. And this was 50 days after the Passover when they were in this place. And it says in verse 4 once again, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. How many of them? All. Now, how many is all? All means how many left out? None left out. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Glory to God. Amen. And so that's when the prophet Joel prophesied that this day would come, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years before this ever happened. And then it happened. I love when you see these prophecies come to pass, and it happened. But there were people that was there, you know, that was wondering what was going on. Why these folks was acting the way that it was acting. And as a matter of fact, some of them thought they were drunk. But the prophet said, no, this is that which Joel the prophet spoke of. That was the infilling of the Holy Ghost. See, because what we don't know, we'll put a tag on it. And then we'll tag it and we'll tell somebody else. And then after a while, you know, you say it enough times, it becomes a truth. It becomes somebody's reality. See, no, they was just drunk. They weren't drunk. Now, you will act, you know, you can act, you know, you will almost feel like you are drunk under the Holy Ghost. Sometimes it's kind of hard to explain spiritual things because it seems like the right words are not available for spiritual happenings. But the Holy Ghost is real, saints. It's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we need to latch on. Let's go back to the Gospel of John. We need to latch on to all parts of the Godhead. It's like a current of air, a breath, like a wind. That's what it said in Acts 2, like a rushing mighty wind. Glory to God. Just can you imagine that? You're sitting in the house and all of a sudden this wind sound, you know, and you minding your own business and this wind sound comes in the house. Glory to God. Then everybody start talking in tongues. And no wonder the mother brother was saying, hey, that Boone's farm must be flowing up in there. I believe them boys been in the Boone's farm. That's an old school wine, by the way, for those that are real young. Glory to God. Amen. John chapter 20. John 20. Oh, I'm in Luke. No wonder this don't make sense. John chapter 20. Glory to God. Let's go to well, this is back up one verse. 21. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Amen. And remember what we said, the one of the Greek words for the Holy Spirit was breath. Amen. Pneuma. Glory to God. He breathed on them, received the Holy Ghost. Now, he didn't tell, the Word of God didn't tell us just told us to lay hands. He didn't tell us to breathe on people, you know, and for them to get the Holy Ghost. Now, he may tell you that, but don't make a doctrine out of it because you don't have word. But he breathed on his disciples. Amen. Go back to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. I know I'm jumping around, but it's just trying to show you how the Holy Spirit is. We just need to know more about him. Genesis chapter 2. See, that was back in that time. It wasn't even raining. Water would come up. I think it was doing that in Noah's day, too. Water would just come up. Verse 6, "But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground." Verse 7, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground." Here we go. "And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Glory to God. So in other words, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That's the Holy Spirit is being involved in that, activating that which was just nothing, clay, dirt. Amen. These kind of things get you excited about that. Now, let's go back once again to John. You say, "Why you didn't just read that while you was over there?" Got us just jumping around these pages. Well, there's an order to it, you know? John chapter 3. I should have wrote some of these down in different translations. Somebody got an amplifier? Anybody has an amplifier? Anybody got a tablet? All right. I'm going to read this in the KJV, and then you read it in amplified in just a moment. We're going to read verse 8. The Word of God says in verse 8, "The wind blowed where it listed, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it came or where it came from or whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." Now let's read that in Amplified just for a moment. See, because wind, you can feel, wow. You can feel wind, but you can't see it. And so you can feel the power of God, but you can't see the power of God. So it's especially if it gets strong enough, it's almost perceptible. To the touch. I mean, you can actually feel it. It can be so thick in the air, and so that's why, saints of God, if we miss it when we allow the groups that we are overseeing in church to become rebellious or become in such disrepair that they are more of a hindrance than a blessing. And sometimes when groups get together too long, that happens. Because you want to be able to have a group that is, ain't no foolishness going on in the group, in the church. We allow too much foolishness, and then we won't say nothing because they all our buddies. And that put the brakes on everybody else. Because the Holy Spirit said, well, y'all didn't deal with that, so I will not even dignify you with my presence. Because you know this foolishness is going on in your group, and you won't do nothing about it. Wow. Somebody need to hear that. You know this foolishness is going on in your group, and you won't do nothing about it. Whoever that is, fix it. Fast. Amen. Glory to God. See, we miss it. Man, this ought to be popping like sparklers in the air around here sometimes. Amen. I know why it's not happening. This is a little undercover sneaky foolishness going on. I mean, ain't no blatant stuff going on, but just undercover sneaky foolishness. Enough to grieve the Holy Ghost and not allow him to flow that the way that he should. Because gifts should be flowing on a regular basis. We should be seeing healings and restorations on a regular basis. But once again, we get these little groups they want folks ain't acting right in them, won't nobody say nothing, won't tell me nothing about it. Because they know I'll blow it up. So rather us yielding to what God wants, we allow that group to stay together and it'll be a hindrance rather than a blessing. Wow. Glory to God. So do the right thing. Amen. Do the right thing. See, the Holy Ghost is trying to tell us, fix these things, and I'll show you some stuff you ain't seen yet. Glory to God. You say, you thought Hammer could dance. I'll show you something. Glory to God. I will show you something. I have the little children dancing like Hammer. Glory to God. My. Fix it. I just keep hearing that. Fix it. Fix it and fix it fast. Fix it and fix it fast. All right, John. Did I read verse 8? Did I finish that? Well, let me read the KJV again. It says, the wind blows where it listeth, and we hear the sound thereof, but it cannot tell whether it cometh and whether it goes. So it is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now we can do the Amplified, John 3:8. And I apologize, I should have printed that out, but I didn't do that. Wow. Amen. See, the wind is always associated with the Holy Ghost. Let us all go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Thank you, Lord God. Wind. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, and brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save or except that Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Amen. Boy, you need to read that over about 5 or 6 times before you get it, because we place too much hope in men, mankind, but it is the power of God that causes these miracles in church, not the men and the women. You know, we have to, but it's God doing it. When the word and how you can leave stuff on somebody, babe, even there's quote unquote positions in churches. Is are we yielding to the Holy Ghost? Do we respect God enough to come in here with an air of expectancy, expecting God to move, looking for him to move, longing for him to move? Glory to God. Wanting him to fill the needs of those that are infirm or those that are downhearted or downtrodden. Or do we just come in with our own agenda, you know, Lord, fix me and every man for himself? No, we have to change our whole way of thinking. God longs to have glorious services, not, you know, every now and then, but I'm talking about Sunday where you are, you know, Sunday could be where you are afraid to miss. You don't know what God's gonna do, so I'm not missing. If he do something, I'm gonna be there on the front row while he doing it. Praise God. See, but if you're not, you know, if you're not doing that, you know, so it doesn't matter whether you're there or not. So that's why we got to get closer to God, because you'll get a little bit more serious than a 25-year-old church, you know, should be. We're going to be further along spiritually. I'm not talking about numerically, but spiritually. Amen. Amen. We still got people act like children. Grown folks. Amen. It's time for us to grow up. Amen. And we got a whole bunch of unteachable people that you can't correct. Can't correct. I'll be wanting to take my collar off. Yeah, all right. I know what you understand. But I ain't gonna do it. Never happen. Never happen. Praise God. So wind, the Holy Ghost. Every time the breeze hits you, you ought to think about the Holy Ghost from now on. Glory to God. Amen. Let me give you some observation about the wind. The wind has extreme power. Amen. You're already in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. In my speech and my preaching was not with enticing word of man's spirit, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Amen. See, wind is always associated with power. You've been here in Florida long enough, you can see some power with a hurricane. I tell you, I'm in awe of them myself. You look at a hurricane, you can see them big ones. They're bigger than the whole state. Matter of fact, they're bigger than 2 states put together. You say, golly, how did this thing form? You got this big old massive thing. And even tornadoes, I mean, it's a rare thing to get tornadoes here, but they got parts of the country where they're regular. And And they form, you know, the storms happen, and they form. And you got a lot of power. You know, they say they sound like freight trains when they're coming through. And they, you know, you, and after a tornado, it always looks like a bomb hit somewhere because the winds are, you know, 300 miles plus. Those are pretty strong winds. And it'd be moving, and it'll cut right through a community. And so wind can be destructive. We're talking about tornadoes and hurricanes. 1 John. Chapter 3. 1 John, the epistle of John. I just want to read the B part of that verse. The A part is a whole, it's a sermon by itself. Verse 8, it says, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he may do what? Destroy the works of the devil." Amen. Now go to John chapter 14. That's the destructive part we were just talking about. When it comes to the devil, the Holy Spirit and Jesus is not playing. They came. Jesus said, "I came to destroy the works of the devil." What are the works of the devil? Sickness and disease, lying, poverty. Sin, etc. Amen. He said, "I come to destroy that." We're going to close in just a moment. John chapter 14. First, start with verse 10. John 14, we're in verse 10. And it says, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me?" And Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he's the one that's doing the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake." Verse 12, "Verily, verily," or once again, "truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do," this is Jesus talking, "the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." And now you got the Holy Ghost with you to help you do those greater works. Amen. So we thank to God once again. Those works are to do what Jesus said, to come to destroy the works of the devil. And that's what our job is, you know, laying hands on the sick to destroy that work that's going in somebody's life. Getting couples together and praying over them and to destroy that spirit of death that's in that marriage. Amen. Getting teenagers and laying hands on them and driving out that spirit of rebellion that is just about to put them on a death. Take them off their destiny track that takes 20, 30, 40 years to get off of in many cases. Amen. So we're here to destroy the works of the devil, but we can't do that if we got the works of the devil going on in us. The devil will not destroy the devil. Amen. So you can't be nice. We're too nice with the devil. Gone devil. Please. Acts 10, and we're going to stop there. Devil ain't your friend. Acts chapter 10. But wind also can be constructive, thanks to God. It ain't just tearing stuff down. It's constructive as well. The Holy Ghost is here to destroy the works of the devil, but is also here to be constructive. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, many of y'all can quote this by heart. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of where? Of Nazareth. What are you anointing with? With the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. You ever see the Holy Ghost is always, almost always, the word power comes along with it. With the Holy Spirit and with power. So, men and women of God, of Victory Christian Center Church, here in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ of 2017, in the merry, merry month of May. When you get this Holy Ghost and power, what are you going to do with it? Here's what Jesus did with it. Who went about doing good. What was the good thing he did? Healing all that was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Sickness is oppression, saints of God. Sickness is not your friend. Amen. It's oppression. It caused you to spend too much money. It caused you to spend too much time or not being able to do what you need to do. It is not your friend. You are oppressed. And so with every ounce in you, you know, stop just taking Advil when something hurts. You know, headaches are not normal. And if I went in, probably if I chose some pocketbooks, I bet you I could find some Advil in these pocketbooks. You pop. Man, please, that ain't normal. Headaches are not normal. Something is wrong. It could be something as simple as your eyes. You know, you got to need another prescription or what have you. Or something else is going wrong in your body. But, you know, you're going to take Advil. Advil don't heal anything. It masks the pain. That's all it does. Amen. Why do we tolerate headaches? Start with that. That's something that ain't going to kill you right away. Start with a headache. Say, oh, no, I ain't taking Advil every time something happens. Standing on the word of God. You say, headache in Jesus' name. Glory to God. I command you to leave my body. You're not normal. You're not normal. It's God's property. Glory to God. I am a daughter of God. I am a son of God. I command you to leave now. I don't care where you go. You got to leave here. You say, well, ain't nothing happened. Well, say it again the next day. Ain't nothing happened. Say it again the next day. Ain't nothing happened. Say it again the next day. Well, how long I got to say it? Well, you say it until the victory is won. Amen. There should nothing on us ever ache or hurt. Once again, if you got headaches all the time, that is not normal. Get your eyes checked or something. Something's going wrong. Could have a brain tumor. I ain't saying you got a brain tumor. I mean, there's a lot of things we'll call headaches. Now, somebody just got scared. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke that fear, that spirit of fear. I say, oh, Lordy, Lordy. Goodness. Oh, goodness, boy, fear. You can feel fear. Yikes. Let's get serious about it, saints. Make up your mind that anything come that's aching, fight it. Amen. Jesus said, speak to the mountain. See, but what the devil does, he have us fussing with each other so much that we ain't got time to fuss at him, to fight him. Because we, you know, we cussing each other out. Can't stand you. You can't stand me. That's why I got my ring on the other wrong hand. Because I married the wrong woman. Just crazy stuff going in people's houses. Y'all remember that movie, The War of the Roses? That was the craziest thing I ever seen. They had a line drawn in their house. In the middle of the house. I mean, they started out seriously in love. So they thought. Till the devil got in it. So you understand, saints, you're in a faith fight. Enemy want to destroy your body. He want to destroy your marriage. He want to destroy your money, your children, your grandchildren, your dog, and your goldfish. So you better recognize. And you use the word of the living God to destroy the works of the devil that's in our lives and in our homes and in our spheres of influence. Let's stop being friendly with the devil. Praise God. Amen. Elder Cecil, would you come up and close this meeting out, do an altar call and the benediction?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. I tell you, faith, speaking the word of God, speaking that word over yourself. I know it. I did it the other night. I'm telling you, it works. We're not just coming to church, hearing words and hearing preaching and going home and not doing nothing about it. We are standing against anything that comes because with that word, we can do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We don't have to put up with nothing anymore. Amen. We do not have to put up with nothing. If we come, if we listen to what the preaching that's going on, if we read that word and we follow God and we doing the word, everything that he said, he promised to us, belong to us. Hallelujah. You got to feel that way. You got to know what you know, because the pastor said today that the devil is not your friend. Don't be friendly with him. I'm telling you. Daisy was sick the other night and laying up in there and 1 minute she was feeling good, the next minute she wasn't. I said, wait a minute, hold up. That ain't natural. That ain't going to happen in the name of Jesus. I rebuked it right then because I learned it, that I can do it. Hallelujah. You ain't just moving up in my house. Come on, somebody. You ain't got the right to do that. You got to talk to the enemy. You got to let him know that Jesus Christ died and made us victors and not victims. Hallelujah. I ain't come up here to preach, but I'm just telling you how I feel, how God is moving, and I know what I know, and I'm listening to these sermons. Faith comes by hearing. You ain't got the right to do that. You got to talk to the enemy. You got to let him know that Jesus Christ died and made us victors and not victims. Hallelujah. I ain't come up here to preach, but I'm just telling you how I feel, how God is moving, and I know what I know, and I'm listening to these sermons. Faith comes by hearing.